The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab became the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed became the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David, the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon became the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asaph. Asaph became the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah became the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah became the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, Amos the father of Hosea. Hosea became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud became the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok became the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eluid, Eluid the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matham, Matham the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus the total number of generations from Abraham to David is 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile to the Christ, 14 generations. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This evening we gather together to celebrate the great solemnity of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, to celebrate Christmas. And tonight at midnight, the church will solemnly proclaim the story of that birth that we are so familiar with as Joseph and Mary come into Bethlehem and give birth to a child, laying him in a manger because there's no room for him. And that story of a child of vulnerability and of anxiety and poverty, that somehow is the story in which Christ himself enters into the world and the glory of God is revealed in this child. And tomorrow morning, almost as if the church is just starting to realize exactly what has transpired, we will hear this liturgy of great joy and thanksgiving that will say how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of the one who brings good news, who proclaims the gospel. And in that experience, we also hear the great hymn of St. John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." But here this evening, as we gather together to hear the beginning. And in that beginning, we hear the genealogy of Jesus Christ and the Annunciation to Joseph. The great scripture professor Raymond Brown said that if we tried to explain to somebody who didn't understand what it was we were celebrating, if we tried to tell the story of Christmas, not one of us in 10,000 would begin with the words, "Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was the father of Jacob." And yet he says that's exactly how the first gospel of the New Testament chooses to begin to tell the story. The first words of the New Testament are the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it tells us, I think, a few things that are important about what it is that we celebrate. In that genealogy, we realize that the Christmas story does not begin in Bethlehem with choirs of angels and a manger. The story of Christmas begins with Abraham. Begins with a people called forth to their own land. The story of a people that fills the entirety of Scripture. And the beginning of Jesus is there. The beginning of the incarnation is in that story. And that story begins with the patriarchs. We have Abraham and Isaac. But then why is it that Isaac was chosen and not Ishmael, who was the first one that was born? Why is it that Jacob is chosen and not Esau, when Jacob was clearly one who was deceiving? Why is it that Judah was chosen and not Joseph, who saved his brothers from hunger and starvation in Egypt? But it was Judah who sold his brother into slavery. We hear in the patriarchs that the descendants or the ancestors of Jesus are good and they are bad. Of the 14 kings that are named after King David, only two of them can even remotely be thought of as being faithful. Most of them were idolaters, murderers, people or else incompetent or just people that took things for themselves. And yet it's out of that lineage that Jesus comes. After the kings, all the other names that we hear, with the exception of Joseph and Shealtiel, we don't find anywhere else in Scripture. They're completely unknown to us. They're just a list of names. And yet what that reminds us of, I think, is a few things. One, Jesus didn't come into the world in some sort of idealized sort of experience of humanity. Jesus' own family, where he came from, was sinner and saint, were people that were broken and suffering, people in need of redemption. And those are the people that God has chosen. And they didn't get chosen because of their great merit and all the things that they did. They simply got chosen by God's gracious will. But it's God's graciousness that brings about relationship and covenant with him. And finally, and I think perhaps most importantly, what the genealogy tells us is that the birth of Jesus and that experience has ultimately been about waiting. Waiting for the Lord. Jesus says, "Abraham rejoiced and longed to see the day that you see. Blessed are your eyes that see." For thousands of years, for centuries, people waited for this night, longed for this night, longed for God to be faithful to His promises. In the first reading that we hear tonight, Isaiah speaks to a people that are broken and suffering from exile, scattered, their land destroyed and taken from them. And yet it will be centuries before Isaiah's prophecy comes to fulfillment. Tonight is a night that speaks to the longing of so many people, the waiting for God to be faithful. And tonight, we celebrate God's answer. Tonight, in the birth of a child, God comes into the world. And what the church will hear tomorrow is as the light comes into the darkness and scatters the darkness which cannot overcome it, nevertheless, most everybody didn't recognize Him. Sometimes waiting can lead to a lifetime where we think that's all that there is. And that when a change is announced, that change is frightening to us. That change is something that's difficult for us to embrace, or we simply can't believe it because we've lost hope. We've lost hope that God can do what He says He can do. Joseph did not lose hope. Joseph is a righteous man, a man following the law, who is a man nevertheless of compassion. And the words of the Lord speak to his heart, and he takes Mary into his home and provides a place for the son. My brothers and sisters, we're still waiting. We're still waiting. We're waiting for when the Lord returns, when he comes back. And still in our experience, there is suffering and there is death. Still in our experience, after so many centuries of waiting, there's division and hatred. There's our own experience of sin and brokenness. We're still waiting. And yet we gather here tonight because even in the midst of everything that we wait for and everything that we long for, we believe in what happened tonight. The Lord was faithful to His promise. Jesus Christ was born. And because we believe in Christmas, we have a reason to hope that God will be faithful to His promises, that there will be a time when God answers our needs and our desires, that there will be a time when God is indeed all in all. We come here to this place, this night, to remember that God was faithful, to remember that the Lord came into the world and pitched His tent among us, chose to live with us, not so that He could be here with us, but so He could take all of us to where He is today, to lead us to the Father, to bring us to salvation, to lead us to a time when God will be all in all, where sin will no longer have power, and where the darkness will be scattered, because the light has come into the world and the darkness will not overcome it. We need to be people of hope. We're here tonight because we're called to be a people of hope. And that means that as we gather here, we need to gather here as a people that strives once again to renew our faith in our God, to renew our faith in Jesus Christ, to take Jesus Christ not on our own terms, but on His terms, to be a people that is faithful to worship every week, to be a people that is faithful to prayer, to spend time in silence with our God, because there our faith is nurtured. There our hope is restored. There we come together to remember again and again what it is that God has done for us. We come here because God has given us everything. And in renewing our faith and our trust in that, we have reason to hope the day will come in which our waiting is at end, where God is before us. Because this day, my brothers and sisters, the child was born to us. And that child was named by Saint Joseph, Jesus, because God will save His people from their sins. Amen. Amen.